praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your way. Step by step, you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your way. Step by step, you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Thank you, Lord.
Give thee a clean heart, so I may serve thee. Lord, fix my heart so that I may
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank Would you just you, pray Jesus. With us now? Thank you.
King Jesus is listening when you pray. King Jesus is listening when you pray. He's waiting to hear you, comfort and cheer you. King Jesus is listening when you pray. King Jesus is listening when you pray. King Jesus is listening when you pray. Waiting to hear you, comfort and cheer you. King Jesus is listening when you pray. If I hold my peace, my Jesus will be coming for me one day. King Jesus is listening when you pray. He's got power in his hand and he's taking me away. King Jesus is listening when you pray. King Jesus is listening when you pray. King Jesus is listening when you pray. He's waiting to hear you, comfort and cheer you. King Jesus is listening. King Jesus is listening, listening. King Jesus is listening, listening, listening. King Jesus is listening when you pray. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Everywhere I go.
Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Jesus gave it to me.
Jesus gave it to me, and I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, Jesus gave it to me, and I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave it to me, and I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
This little light of mine.
This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Praise God.
Praise God. Hello. I'm going to be doing a piece called Cleaning House 2007. Last week, I threw out worrying. It was getting old and in the way. It kept me from being me. I couldn't do things God's way. I threw out a book on my past. Didn't have time to read it anyway. Replaced it with new goals. Started reading it today. I threw out hate and bad memories. Remember how I treasure them so. Got me a new philosophy, too. Threw out the one from long ago. Brought in some new books, too, called I Can, I Will, and I Must. Threw out I Might, I Think, and I Ought. Wow, you should have seen the dust. I ran across an old friend, and I hadn't talked to in a while. His name is God, the Father, and I really like his style. He helped me do some cleaning and added some things himself, like prayer, hope, faith, and love. Yes, I placed them right on the shelf. I picked up this special thing and placed it at the front door. I found it. It's called peace. Nothing gets me down anymore. Yes, I've got my house looking nice. Looks good around the place. For things like worry and trouble, There just isn't any space. It's good to do a little house cleaning, get rid of things on the shelf. It sure makes things brighter. Maybe you should try it yourself. Be blessed and be a blessing to someone else. May the Lord open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you will not have room enough to receive it all. Malachi 3, verse 10. Happy 2007.
What's special about today? Just like all the others? No, this is the first Sunday, our first Sunday together in the new year, and I need to do some things that it is appropriate to do today. I want to thank some folks and just be quiet until I finish, please. Liz, stand up. Thank you. Wait, let's do them in lumps. Liz is my energy person. When I look at Liz, I know I'm creeping. She's done some fantastic things at the instruction of the Lord, not me. Y'all not listening, are you? Okay, I want to be sure you're listening. I have here, it says Missionary of the Year, and that's her. Many of you are missionaries, and you're doing a tremendous job, and I appreciate it, but I just need to holler at her.
Quoting John 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loves Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walketh in day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if any man walketh in night and stumbleth, it is because there is no light in him. These things said Jesus, and after that saith he to his disciples, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. His disciples said, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that it was not there in the intent that ye believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus came, he found he had already lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, and about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary, comforting them concerning their brother. Then when Martha heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know thy brother shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Martha saying to him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master come and calleth for thee. And when she heard that, she arose quickly and went out. Now Jesus was not yet come to the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews And many of the Jews and the Jews which were with her in the house, when they saw Mary, that she arose hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she go up to the grave to weep there. Then when Martha came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews weeping, he groaned in spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. The Jews said, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died? Therefore, Jesus again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave and a stone lay upon it, and said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days already. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee, for thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hast heard me always. But because of these people which I stand, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound with napkin. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. The Jews which came to Mary, when they saw the things Jesus had done, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles, and if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and the nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should come and die for the people, and the nation perish not. And this he spoke not of himself, but being high priest that same year, he prophesied that Jesus should come and take away the nation, die for the nation, and the whole nation perish not. And not the nation only, but that he should. And this he spake not of himself, but being high priest the same year, he prophesied that Jesus should come into the world and die for the people. Right? And not for the nation only, but that he should gather together in one children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Now Jesus walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, where he continued with his disciples. Now the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many of them went out of the country to purify before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they may take him. I have just quoted John 11.
In you, as it were, and give you direction. And the Holy Spirit is here saying, doing that. He's here, he's willing, he's ready, and he's got half the power. How much? God is not divisible. He never has been. I heard somebody say the other day, well, you say he's three, that's one, two, three. No, he's one. It's difficult to understand until you receive it. I'm sorry, you didn't hear that. I met a professor at Moody. He wasn't an instructor at Moody, but he came to Moody for a lecture. And I found out, just listening to him, that he was not born again. He had all of that stuff in his head. I mean, he was loaded. He had more knowledge than you could shake a stick at. But he didn't have the power. And if you seek joy, honey, the only way you can get it, Jesus said, my peace and joy and everything you need, he is giving. I'm sorry. We are accustomed to paying. And I know there are people in this room. You've talked to me. If somebody offers to give you something, what's the catch? And I'm going to tell something. When I leave here today, I'm going to Freeport, Illinois, my wife's hometown, to watch her niece die. And what a horrible scene. We were up there Friday. And nobody mentioned Jesus but me. And that's sick, y'all. I mean, the world is cool. We got a lot of stuff. Push button here and what have you. But Jesus is the only one who's important. And it's just, I've overcome being torn down when you, and I say you, I mean everybody but me, reject Jesus. It used to tear me up. After I was saved, and after I come to the knowledge of the truth, it would tear me up to see unsaved people going around doing this and doing that, but it no longer does. I pray for you, and I'm sad for you in a very quick way. The sadness goes away right away because I can't save. If I could save, all of you would be saved. Whether you wanted to be or not, you understand? See, I just saved you anyway. And that would give me joy. But that's because I'm not him. His joy, let me tell you something. His joy comes from your volunteering. Sister Ernestine, step out just a few minutes and let everybody see you, baby. Come on. That's far enough. Hold your hands up. See, she got calluses on her hands. Thank you, baby. She got calluses on her hands for volunteering to go to New Orleans and work. And if you were here earlier, you might have seen some pictures of her and the rest of them, but you couldn't tell who was who because they all got off the mask. When I saw it this morning, I laughed. I don't know who that is. That could be anybody. They could have been on the beach while the work was going on. And make us think that they were working. No, that's... Isaac, is your daughter here?
No.
I was going to ask her if she was on the beach. I was here Saturday when they, Sunday when they came back, and she was... Do you want joy? Receive him. The message is brief. Look with me in John chapter 5, verse 39. This is a very, very simple message. I say from time to time that this is the Holy Bible, the Word of God. But it's just the print, y'all. This is just the print. The Word of God is alive. And you can't destroy it. And in John 5:39 it says, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. You got red letter edition?
Yes.
Are those words red?
Yes.
You know what Jesus is saying? Y'all think that just by reading my book, you're going to get saved. Or great things are going to happen in your life. You don't have to receive me. That's ridiculous, y'all. Let's pray, and then I'm going to ask you to sit down, and we're going to talk a little bit. Father, thank you for your word, your living word, your word named Holy Bible, your word named Jesus, your word named Holy Spirit. Bless us today that we would hear and believe and receive and be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Take your seats. I think it's important, y'all, that we get away. And I keep trying to run you away from church. And I know some of you don't understand that. Somebody called me one day and said, why you keep telling us church ain't where it's at? Because church ain't where it's at. And there are people who I'm going to see in heaven. And they're going to listen carefully, because I know it's going to make you mad. They're going to be just as dumb as they are right now. What does that prove? That proves that God is a person of his word. He said, you ask for and receive my son, Jesus, and you're mine. And you're going to come to heaven when I send him back to get y'all. But how are you going to pass up the joy that you can get if you just study his word? A little bit. Not a lot. I know, I ain't got time. Listen. Just a little bit. Just take a little time to study his word. And I guarantee you, your joy bucket will start filling up. And you can stand before Satan. And Satan has representatives in the room right now. Lieutenants in his army. And they know it. They reject Jesus. And that's Satan's number one thing. Okay, if they reject Jesus, they'll work for me. You don't get saved by reading the Bible. You get saved by committing your life to Christ, by admitting that you're a sinner and just saying, Lord, I'm worthless. I am dust. And I read where, or I heard where, listen, to hear the truth is as good as reading the truth at a certain point. And that's the entry point. You see, a lot of people have been saved by hearing a preacher or a teacher or even a singer say the words of truth. So the entry point is okay. But after you hear it in your mind and start dealing with stuff that's going on in your heart, then your life can change. Hallelujah. You got to understand, these words in the Bible, all of them, don't give me Old Testament, New Testament. Every one of them, even Numbers. If you ever read Numbers, I guarantee you there's as much God in Numbers as anywhere else. As a matter of fact, there's probably more because he proves himself throughout the book. He keeps saying, and I don't care if it was 4,000, I'm still God. And you just got to see that, but that's all right. But all he's doing here is saying, look, I made you, I love you, I want you. Now, question is, do you want me? Oh, he's going to make me do this, and he's going to make me do that. Jeremy's not going to be able to play. What sport you play? Sport. When are you going to start? When are you going to start? No, I'm talking about physical. You can play the piano and sing, that's okay. But you know what's going to happen to your body if you don't use it a little more than you're using it now? It's going to wither. Look at these folks in here. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. There's some folks in here who don't do very much, and that's why. Listen. He will give you strength if you want to use your body. And that's for all of you. You don't have to go to the gym. I know gyms are great. Organized chaos. No. A good place, they got machines. They got, you know, guides to help you along the way. But use your body. I see some TV eyes in here right now. All you do is sit there and watch that too. And the devil, listen, y'all, the devil uses television more than anybody. And there are a few people who are making money off of it, but I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about Satan himself. He's using TV to pollute your mind. And I want to tell y'all something else. Think about it for a minute. Have you ever watched something on TV that was really, really good, and just suddenly like that they start cussing? Or start using the Lord's name in vain? Or start taking off their clothes? Hey, it was going good there, and then here you come up with this mess. See, he gets your attention, and then he slips something in on you to pollute your mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the idea. You don't know what his mind was like except through the Word. When he came to live in my heart, he didn't say, all right, I'm in your heart now. You don't have to read the Bible no more. Because I'm in you and my mind is in you. No, it doesn't work there. There's no transference that way. You have to, oh, and this is wonderful. It's joy in doing this. Dig it up and eat it. Just dig it out of there and eat it. But still, eating it doesn't save you. It just points to him. You want, let me ask you something. Do you want eternal life? Okay, let me show y'all something. You've got eternal life. Are you going to be on the living side of eternal life or on the dying side of it? Wait a minute, Roy, you don't know what you're talking about. Death is death. No. No, how are you going to be punished if you're dead? Wake up, saints and potential saints. Listen. The idea in hell, I know y'all think you're going to play pinochle in hell, but you're not. You're going to be tormented beyond measure. How long? 30 years? How much? Uh-uh. No, y'all don't believe that. Nobody believes it because the only place you find it mentioned seriously is in the Bible. And how easy is it to close the book? Just like that. Close it and forget it. Don't even consider what he's saying is for you. No, I'm sorry. What he's saying is for me. And who else?
Me.
See, only 14 people said me. The rest of y'all don't believe it. That's okay. All right. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. The Word was with God. That's Jesus. And the Word was God. That's Jesus. God really lifts him up, y'all, all through the Bible. From Genesis, the first verse, all the way through, he lifts up Jesus, his son. It's not always Jesus, but that's who he's lifting up. And he sent Jesus to live in us. And so that we can call ourselves Christian. Okay, wait a minute. Maybe this is a little quick lesson. Jesus is the Christ. T-H-E generally means one and only. He's not a Christ. I don't care what Mr. Moon says or any of them other dudes. Jesus is the only Christ. That's how we get following Christ becomes Christian. If you can hear me, say amen.
Amen.
Well, then you understand what I'm saying. In order to be a Christian, you have to receive Christ. And once you are a Christian, you can never not be. Oh, I know. And I love to tell this. Every once in a while, I want to not be a Christian. Not because I want to go back to what I used to be. Whew, honey, no way. But I get mad. Satan will do something and cause somebody to make me mad. And the best person is my wife. She can do it just like that. Amen, man? And but here's the idea. If I don't practice saying no to him, I'll say something smart to her. And that's not usually a good deal either. But watch it. He is out to get you. He is out to kill you, as a matter of fact. I need to share this with you. What's her name? Janine Pringle was in an accident right in front of the church last night. And she's okay. I guess. Is she okay, babe? Okay, listen. A rear end collision will cause neck strain automatically. Listen to it carefully. I had one. And I told the paramedic, I'm okay. And this was a Christian young man. Otherwise, I would have still been, He said, come on, go. Let's go over to the hospital. So we went over there and they did some stuff, and I'm okay. But when she was hit last night, I went over to the emergency room. And she said, I'm okay, just a little, sore in the neck. Where was God when that happened? Well, why didn't he prevent it? Y'all for quiet. Y'all ain't saying a word. Listen.
Life is not pleasing me. Life is pleasing him. And he got some good out of that. I know two or three things that happened while I was there that he got good out of. Janine got hit, and of course, Michael, where's Michael? He had to go home. I mean, he's okay. Just best to go home and okay. But Michael was over there too. That's Sister Clarice's son. Six years old. But I went to see him and prayed with him. At the same time, both of them were over there. It's not fun, y'all, to go to an emergency room unless you're taking some flowers or something, you know, some coffee to somebody. Because you can always know that the devil has been busy. And here he is dealing with a six-year-old, causing more havoc than you can shake a stick at any baby. I mean, mom is all, you know, concerned, and now I'm concerned, and now you're concerned, because his heart races sometimes. And Reverend Kirk and the whole army over here is concerned, because Satan is doing that to him. Where is God? See, y'all think life and death, and that's not it. It should be life and life. Let's start thinking life and life all year. Life and life. And what's the challenge for Alpha members this year? To witness to one person each week. Listen, just one. Please don't witness to more than one. Just one. You disobey everything else I ask you to do. Let me see you do. Listen, I guarantee you, if you witness to one, the Lord is going to bless you so much you're going to witness to more. And you won't make a fool out of yourself either. Every time they see you, here he come with his Bible. No, that's not what it's all about. You just, oh, honey, he's got joy that he wants to give you. And you can't just go to bed and get up and go to work and come back and go to work and come back, or school or wherever, and expect to realize his joy. It's here. He's loaded with it, and he's just pouring it down. But he's pouring it, and you're standing over here, and it's falling down there. You got to be in the right place at the right time. You got to have your bucket up. Lord, they're not listening to me. They don't hear a word I'm saying. We need to practice making Jesus happy. And the only way is obedience. Obedience, obedience. Obey his word. Please try to understand. I don't think there's maybe one person in here, and that's a very small person, who has not had a hand slap or a spanking or whipping or beating or any of those. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody in here never had a whipping? Please don't stand up. I'd be scared of what you might do next. And God is not in the habit of giving us whippings, but he will. Don't mistake me. That's not what he's about. He's about giving us joy and peace and love and all the good stuff. But he's also about giving us intelligence so that we know when the devil presses in and gives us some bad stuff, that we can say, Lord, listen carefully. Would you handle this for me? You can say it out loud or you can say it to yourself, but you got to know it to say it. It's not something you just made up. Oh, I heard him say in church. I don't want you to hear it in church. I want you to read it for yourself. He says, Lo, I am with you everywhere you go. And I'm your guide. I'm your guard. And I'll keep you. I will keep you. Ooh, honey, this is what I'm saying. The devil don't scare me at all. And, oh, well, you're a preacher. You think I came out of the womb a preacher? No. I came out just as sinful, just like you, and went into it deep and heavy and hard. One day he said, it's time. And listen, he doesn't coerce you, and he don't jerk you in. But when he said it's time, it was time. And I understood, and he didn't have to say anymore. And I was willing at that time. Isn't that weird? Why didn't he say it was time a week before? He probably did. I wasn't listening. But when he said it that day, I said, okay. First Tuesday in October, 1970. Never, never forget it. Don't know what the date was. Don't matter. Hallelujah. It was one of those days he made. And in that day, I heard him. What I said a while ago, you know, there was no preacher there but him. And he spoke, and I heard him and said, okay, I surrender. I'm tired. What was I tired of? Drinking liquor? No. Wanted to keep on. Smoking cigarettes? No. Wanted to keep on. Lying? No. Wanted to keep on. What was I tired of? Fear. Some of you are scared to get up in the morning. No. Some of you are scared to go to bed. Am I going to wake up in the morning? Honey, come to the place where you are trusting his word. You're trusting his word, meaning J-E-S-U-S, so much that you don't care where you are or what you're doing. You're just trusting him. It's cool, baby. It is so cool. So what if you have an accident? So what if you... I ain't going to say that. But it doesn't matter what happens. He's got you. When we get up to preach up here, Reverend Slim, when he's here, says... he doesn't say anything. He just puts his hand out like that in front of whoever's going to preach. Meaning he's got you in his hands. Meaning he can't let you fall. You can't leap out of his hand. There is no way. And so I'm going to warn you right now, if you don't want to be a Christian for the rest of your life, don't become one today. And I mean for the rest of your life. Don't believe death is the end. And you say, well, how can you prove that? The book of truth speaks a bunch of times of it. What was that we just read about Lazarus? When you're dead, you're done. If that was the case, Jesus could not have said, Lazarus, y'all don't believe that anyway. Y'all don't believe that. That's just a story in the Bible. Yeah. It may be a story in the Bible. I believe it to be true. That's why I'm standing here. If I didn't, I'd be out there selling dope. That's where most of the money is. And most of it comes from people right in this room. See, listen, Satan is out to get you. Because, I'm sorry. Did y'all know Satan was an angel? Angels and God were here first. God made the angels before he made us. And those folks are something else, those angels. But one, and this is weird, y'all, one stood up and said, I'm going to be God. Forget this stuff. And I think you probably heard something yesterday about somebody in the church that one day can decide, I'm going to be pastor. You can have it. Here's my coat, baby. Here's the idea. When God says something, put your money on it. It cannot be a lie because he cannot lie. And he says, listen, y'all, I want you to take up where Jesus left off. That's it. That's it. I know you love to sing. Matter of fact, I want to tell you this, and then I'm going to sit down. A man told us yesterday, and he just slapped me right across the face. He said, some preachers love to preach more than they love Jesus. And I thought, Lord, and don't we say this? Is that me? Who has that said that of his 12? Is it I? Listen, he doesn't want everybody to be a preacher, but he does want everybody to be a teacher. Okay, don't make no mistake about that.
He wants everybody, every Christian, to be a teacher. And we've got tremendous subject matter. I mean, we've got a whole book full of stuff. And the only reason this Bible is written is so that we can become what he wants us to be. And the main thing he wants us to be is witnesses. He wants us to tell about his love and his glory and his... All of that. Are y'all listening? This idea of witnessing once a week to one person? Please start today. One person. By telephone, face to face. One person. And before Reverend Kirk comes to do the invitation, fellas, I heard something in one of these guys said up here about looking people in the eye. I'm just starting with you. Every human being should look other human beings directly in the eye, even if they have to look up. You don't have to get up on a chair because the person is taller than you. That's something they made a big deal out of. But look people in the eye. Look around when you see people talking to people. Somebody got their head down. It was a kid got an award on one of the schools. Liz was there. How you gonna get an award with your head down to the ground? And Mr. Hill, if I want to yell at you, be man enough to let me yell at you and look me right square in the eye. I probably won't yell as long if you do that. I'm serious. I used to buffalo my father. He taught me how to do that. And then when he started yelling at me, I look at him straight in his eye. He still yell, but not as long and not as hard. But look, people, I'm saying to the guys, and I want to start everything with them because that's what God did, but you guys do the same thing. Everybody in here should do the same thing. Look folk right straight in the eye, right or wrong. And most of the time we know when we're wrong, don't we? Tell the truth, we know. You can say I messed up or I made a mistake, whatever you want to say. We know when we're wrong. Sometimes we don't know until just after we did it, but we know. And if somebody's going to dress us down about it, look them straight in the eye and admit it and ask for forgiveness. Husbands, I'm back on you again. And then I'm going to quit, really. Come on. Sometimes she's right. Not all the time, but sometimes she's right. Give her the benefit of the doubt. Say, I'm sorry, you're right. Every once in a while, don't tell no lie. It's usually that we want to do it our way, and so we know you're wrong. But every once in a while, give it. Y'all not listening, but that's all right. You still want to do it your way, and it's going to go on. But the Lord would bless you tremendously. When we have our marriage workshop in a few weeks, I hope all you guys come and bring your wives with you. And I'm going to invite engaged couples. They might change their mind about getting married. That's, yeah, that would be all right, because unequally yoked people just don't make good partners anyway. When you finish, you go on.
Praise the Lord. If everyone would stand. I don't like to put people on the spot, but yesterday while I was here at the church, this young lady right over here, she stopped by and she said she was coming to church. And people always tell you that. But when I saw her come through the door, I thought, praise the Lord. She's here, and I pray that she heard something that will benefit her in her life. But you know, a lot of things could have kept her from coming. She could have woke up and didn't feel good, or just said, you know what, I'm not going. I'm just not going to go. But see, Jesus, he promised that he was coming for the church. And there's nothing going to stop him from coming. He ain't going to get up and say, you know, I'm tired, or I just don't feel like going. He's coming back, y'all, because that's what that Bible that Pastor Roy was talking about this morning says. He says he's going to return. Now, the question is, will you go back with him? So you ask yourself that question. Now, if the Lord appears today, will you be able to go back with him? Or will you be here waiting for the judgment? So now that you've answered the question, we invite you to come now to give your life to Christ. If you haven't repented of your sins, you simply repent. You say something like this, Lord, I'm sorry. Then you ask him, say, Lord, I believe what this Bible says. I don't understand all of it, but I believe that your son came, he died, he rose, and he's back in heaven right now waiting for me. If you believe that and you've prayed that prayer, I ask that you come down front right now. One of the counselors will take you out, and they'll explain whatever you need explaining. So is there anyone today, you know for a fact in your heart that you're not saved, you know it, and you're tired? Is there one today? Just step away from where you are and come forward. It's a win-win situation. If not, if you're here and you're already saved, you're born again, following Christ, sanctified, we ask that you come to join our fellowship. The invitation is to you now. If you are here and you're just visiting, you have no intentions of joining this body, but you want to be saved, we ask that you come at this time. With that, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, whatever situation you may be trapped in, call on the name of Jesus, and he'll save you. Thank you. Take your seats.